Merci, Madame la.
Thank you, Chair. Your Excellency, Minister, First Councillor, I would like to begin by welcoming you to the CEDAW Committee and to warmly congratulate Rwanda for the governance model, an example of gender equality, which puts you in the lead in terms of women's representation in Parliament, with almost 62% of parliamentarians being female in Rwanda, when the global average for female parliamentarians is 26.4%, which falls woefully short of our goal as CEDAW of parity at all levels. But you are a shining example of how that can be done. A lot of questions have been asked about women's political participation within your parliament, within the assembly. And I'd like to come back, if you'll allow me, to the Women, Peace and Security Plan as a precursor to my other remarks, because it's extremely important, first and foremost, that there be a consolidated Women, Peace and Security Plan in place in Rwanda, and we welcome the fact that that is the case. But we'd welcome some additional information on peace negotiations currently underway in the regional context. We see that there are many of them, and so we'd welcome it if you could share with us whether women are present in the high-level exchanges, in mediation, in negotiation that is currently underway in these peace processes. Do they have the opportunity to share their own visions of peace and their own thoughts and desires for peace and security in the region? Could you also share with us, on a more general question, the role of women in Rwanda's diplomacy? We attach a great deal of importance to Article 8 and the representation of women in international organizations. The appointment and nomination processes for these diplomatic and other posts, and this would perhaps cover some of our concerns under temporary special measures. I would point to example to the presidential decree of December 2020, which sought to renew the nomination process. Do you, for example, have a positive discrimination measure in place where both candidates have the same skill set? Do you take the woman over the man to ensure parity in terms of Rwanda's representation in diplomacy, including in the world of international finance and international negotiations on issues such as climate? Because it's clear that the main issues confronting the world today are dealt with on the multilateral international basis. So it would be useful to know if women were given preference in selecting for those roles representing Rwanda. We congratulate Rwanda once again about the level of women's representation in Parliament in the central level, but concerns have already been flagged about the decentralized representation of women. And what steps can you take to boost gender parity at the decentralized local representative governance level, etc., so that it's not just fine words, but is an actual reality, and how you can address, for example, the patriarchal mindset which exists not just in Rwanda, but elsewhere. So I'd like to ask whether you're prepared to implement a new strategy which would address the decentralized level of governance. For example, women only make up 30% of mayors in the country. And also to address this whole issue of the reality of the responsibilities that need to be borne, and to give them the tools they need to be able to effectively wield power and authority. Often they end up in what have been called softer jobs, and there is not a sufficient level of women's representation in decision-making posts.
And then you have the initiative on masculine positivity. Can it be expanded throughout the country, or is it still at the pilot project stage? We have been keeping a close eye on that whole development with interest, because we have seen how that has developed, and we want to ask about how that's included in the educational program in school. It's important that the whole culture take on that vision. I also had a question if there's any plan for participation on an equal basis between men and women. That the NGOs participate in, yes, training, but also awareness raising. I believe that's important. And then I will finish on another important point. There can be no parity unless there's inclusion. And with inclusivity, you have been very innovative with Article 76 of the Constitution that states that a deputy, that's a victim, or a member who is a member with disabilities can be elected. And what is your assessment of that great initiative? Can you improve upon it and reinforce it? Because that policy takes into account social inclusion, and that's an important thing. And before concluding, I would like to mention something about the public sphere. It seems that some doctors and specialists in hospitals and also in administration in general are out of phase. So I would like to continue to prove through an example what